Welcome to another broadcast from Brother Jim Shaw Ministries. If you'd like more information or sermons, visit www.brotherjimshaw.org. Please stay tuned to the end of the broadcast for more contact information. And now, here's Brother Jim Shaw.
Hello, fellow Christians. Let's ask ourselves a question. If you must be reborn to enter the kingdom of God, if once you've tasted of salvation, you become a new creature, what does this mean you were before you knew the Lord? I'll tell you what it is. You're a child of darkness. You are a child of the wrong kingdom. That's what you are. Yes. We do not come into this world as children of God. No, we don't. We must be transformed. We must be reborn. We must become brand new. The nature that you and I have, regardless of how nice we might be, how giving we might be, how loving we might be, our nature, our righteousness, we're told, is as filthy as rags. Hard to understand. Because your concept of righteousness wants to make you think you're a good person. And the Lord loves good people. No, he didn't come to save good people. There were none. As far as good means holy and sanctified. All the human race, because of our original seed, the seed of a fallen man, that seed continues till the day he comes. But when his grace and his mercy gets a hold of you, you literally become a different person. Let's read here in James chapter 4. From whence do wars and fightings among you come? Question mark. Where does all this fighting on an individual basis, on a country basis, national basis, worldly basis, what is the foundation of all these fights that we have as human beings with one another? Do not they come from your lusts that war within your members? Lusts that war within you. That's where they all come from, gang. I just want one more dollar. I want to live in a house like that. I want your wife. I don't like you. These questions continually come up in our flesh nature, and it's about our wants, our desires. That's where all the warring starts. It's a materialistic battle where we want to put ourselves on top of the mountain, and we want to become God. You might say, oh, I don't want that. I don't want that. Well, it gets exposed. And the Lord does it to all of us. He'll show us each the golden calf we might have in our life. He'll do it. It says, you lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have. And you cannot obtain. You fight and you war. Yet you do not have because you ask not. So now he lets us in a little bit more on a mystery here. You kill, you desire to have, you can never get what you want, you're never fulfilled, you're never satisfied as a human being. You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss that it may consume it upon your lusts. In other words, even our prayers, without Jesus Christ, without thankfulness, without godliness, without contentment, our prayers will even be focused on, Lord, I want this and I want that. And if I could only have this, Lord, I could do so much for you. He's warning us here. These prayers shouldn't be. They're basically there just for our lusts. This is the start of all the wars. This is the start of all the dissensions, seditions, hatred, all of it. And then he goes on to say, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is an enemy with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. What a statement. If this doesn't segregate you, if this doesn't sanctify you, if this doesn't make the road more and more narrow, because who doesn't want things? It's in all our nature. You adulterers and adulteresses. So he's talking to Christians here. What's an adulteress? Someone who is married. We're supposed to be married to Jesus. But when we're in love with the things of the world, when the lust of our eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life enter in, the same thing that Eve had to deal with. Remember, that's Eve was in the garden. She couldn't have been any more saved, but yet she still looked at it. And she could see, oh, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. This is before she even ate of it. So these attacks will come. Beware. It's all vanity. Solomon lets us in on it. Somebody else is going to be driving your car. Somebody else is going to be living in your house. Good chance your clothes are going to go to Goodwill and somebody else will be wearing them. All your money will be dissipated. All your family albums and all eventually end up in the garbage. It really is depressing, this life. If you want to get technical about it, from a perspective of human nature, why am I even here? This show is ridiculous. I'm here to die. All my gain is going to get flushed. But that's the whole idea of the cross. Christ was letting us in on a mystery. The cares of the world, the deceitfulnesses of riches, the lusts of other things choke out the word. And who is the word? The word is Jesus. Who is Jesus? The way, the truth, and the life. And all these things try to choke out the way, the truth, and the life. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain that the spirit dwelleth in us, lusts us to envy? Yes. You know, before we're reborn, these lusts, they're like straitjackets. Gotta have it, gotta have it. This sensuality, sexuality, all the perversion, it has you wrapped and you can't escape it because there is no escape out of Christ. The demons have a stronghold. These are evil spirits that want to live within you and work their life, through you. They want a human body to do their disgusting, evil things through. And when you know the Lord Jesus Christ, now you can fight against it. Now you have a power within you that's stronger than the power of this world. And now you know how to take thoughts captive. You know how to cast down imaginations in every high thing that exalts itself above God. You know how to fight the good fight of faith. You know how to endure to the end to be saved. You literally become a soldier in a different army when you take on Jesus. But he goes on to say here, but he gives more grace. This is God. He gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. And what are we told in Titus? That the grace of God teaches us how to deny all worldliness and ungodliness. That's what grace actually does, ladies and gentlemen. It teaches you how to escape this mess. It's just not some haze that comes out of the sky or some gobbledygook. No, grace is specific. It teaches you how to deny worldliness and ungodliness in this world. That's God's grace. In other words, he teaches you how to escape the wiles and tricks of the devil. But he gives this to the proud. He destroys the proud. He gives this grace, I'm talking about, to the humble. God says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And you couldn't get any more proud than Satan. He thought he was God. He wanted to steal the whole show. I challenge you, go through a whole day without trying to say the word I. It's tough. It's tough. But that's the first sign of pride. I am elevated above everything at all times. Pride. Humbleness is a sign of meekness. It's a submissiveness to God. That's what humbleness is. And it's truth. Even from a human perspective, you have heart, lungs, liver, kidneys, eyes, feet, hands, spleen, colon, intestines. You have so many parts, all made up of billions and billions of individual cells. You have all this blood pumping through your body, and you have nothing to do with it. Nothing. It's just happening. I believe the only thing you have, the only thing you control, is your will. That's it. And when you give your will to God, you've humbled yourself. And that's what he tells us in verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves, therefore. Therefore. Why is therefore there? Because God resists the proud, but humbles, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. Where I go along, and I think everything's kind of okay. And then I realize actually what I did, what I might have said to somebody, or what action I might have done. And the next thing you know, I feel really bad because I know what I did was bad. At the time, I didn't even know. I didn't know what it was. But then somehow, in God's grace, he reveals it to you. And you say, you know, I am afflicted, and I do mourn, and I do weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. This is what humbleness does. It brings things into the light. You self-reflect, and you realize, you know, I'm not all that. I am not all that. God, I got issues. Then he goes on to say, humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord, and he, this is the Lord, shall lift you up. So what does humbleness do? It corrects. It knocks you down, gets you where you belong, gets you on your knees, gets you prostrate in front of the Lord, and now he can do something with you, and he lifts you up. People, this is good news. Stay in Jesus. It's the only truth. It doesn't change regardless of what's happening in the world. Jesus Christ's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God bless you all. Amen.
You've been listening to Brother Jim Shaw Ministries. If you would like more information or sermons, we can be reached at www.brotherjimshaw.org. That's www.brotherjimshaw.org. Or write to P.O. Box 690492, Vero Beach, Florida. You can also call 717-451-9767. Again, 717-451-9767. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you again next time for another broadcast from Brother Jim Shaw Ministries. To view more messages on Brother Jim's YouTube page, please visit www.brotherjimshaw.org.